Listen, we are, last week I made an announcement that we were ending the fight series, but there was one person that I didn't actually consult with when I made that decision, and the Holy Spirit said, nah, just kidding, I actually have something for you, and so we're in fight number 7. So some of you are like, oh my gosh, and some of you are like, yes, well, that whatever your reaction is, I don't care. I'm just following what the Holy Spirit told me to do. And so today is fight number 7, and the title of my message is generosity. Yeah, I'm about to mess you all up because Jesus has been messing me up, so I have to give it to somebody, right? That's usually how it works, right? It's like when you had a bad day and then you come home and you tell someone, like you're usually your spouse, and then you mess them all up, and now everybody's all messed up. So, but you know what's interesting about fight and when we're in this idea of fight and I kind of thought of it as like if you've seen those Star Trek episodes or the movies, you know, whenever they're in a battle and the ship in front of them is firing on them, what do they do with their shields? Well, obviously they put them up, duh. But they put all of their power and all of the shields to the front of the ship. And I think many times when we're in a fight that's typically what we do. And typically when we're in the fight, all of our shields kind of go to what we feel confident in. So we might be in this battle, but where we kind of put all of our energy and all of our time is in that area that we feel like we're killing it because we're in this fight. Because the fight makes us feel insecure. The fight makes us feel funky. The fight makes us feel like what's going on. So typically we put all of our energy or all of our thoughts or all of our ability in what we're doing good at. So if you're doing really great at your job, but you hate your home life, what do? You find more reasons to go to work. If you hate your job, but you love your home life, you're calling in sick as many days as you possibly can. And I find that this is typically the way the fight works. And then when the fight happens, we typically strain the areas of our insecurity or weakness. And because of that, we actually pull in and hold tightly rather than actually being the people that God created us to be. Because just in case you didn't know, and what Daniel was saying is we have been, as believers, people who call on the name of the Lord, have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness, small, depleted, death and destruction and sin, and have been transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son, where we get to live an abundant life. This is the area in which we occupy, but whenever we're in a fight, we tend to bolster the areas that we feel good in, but we restrict the areas that we feel insecure about. Because let's just be honest, nobody wants anybody to see our weaknesses. But do you realize that the way God actually created the kingdom is that in our weakness, he becomes strong? That his idea of power flowing through us is actually not holding in, but generosity. Generosity is this is my definition, is putting a demand on the reality of God in our lives. And many times when we're in the fight, we tend to lean on the areas that we're doing well in, but we don't want anyone to know about our weakness, so we become actually less talkative, or we kind of put on this persona that we're killing it. And the idea of generosity is not holding back our life from each other. You see, in Acts, when the church was born, the disciples got up and proclaimed who Jesus is, and the power of the Holy Spirit was encountering people, and Jesus' reality was coming alive to them. And this is what happened to the 5,000 people that were added to the church and people who were coming to Jesus that day. It says all the believers devoted themselves, this is Acts chapter 2, verses 42, it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing meals, including the Lord's Prayer. A deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers, and all the believers, and all the believers, and all the believers met together in one place and shared I don't like the Bible sometimes. And they shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. Each day the Lord added to their fellowship and those who were with those who were being saved. You've got to understand the context of this verse. We're not talking about America. We're not talking about that everything was hunky-dory. As a matter of fact, most of these people got rejected by their families. Great persecution was on all of those who called on the name of the Lord. This was a time when you don't be generous because you never know what tomorrow might be. This is a time and a season in the world where Rome was a government of tyranny to the Israelites. And a group of Israelites got saved and now are walking around town going, the guy you crucified is alive. And as a matter of fact, we're going to get together in the religious synagogue, the temple where all the Jews who hated Jesus are mingling, and we're all going to get together and we're going to sing loud. Yes, Jesus loves me. Our families are going to reject us. Our worlds are going to be changed. So in a season where it seems to be the easiest way to live is to hunker back down and to make sure we pull all of our resources in because we don't know what tomorrow's going to be like, the church goes crazy. The church goes crazy. And what is the kingdom like? It's when you pour out, you receive more. But our mind says, when it's a little bit out of control, man, you got to hunker down. Don't tell anybody you're struggling. Don't ask anybody to coffee because they might want to know the gritty details of what's going on in your life. So put on a front. And if you take somebody out, make sure all you do is you tell them all the good stuff that's going on in your life. Tell them how you're killing it. And what I love about this is it's actually... It's like the fight is like this. When the enemy comes at you, you just kind of like, whatever. You're done. And you begin to walk in a level of generosity that he actually hates. So he wants to come at you in one direction to keep you from actually living the life that God called us to live. Look at Proverbs 11:24. It says that the world of the generous get larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed, and those who help others are helped. Do you see the concept of the kingdom? But our human nature is to hunker down. Our human nature is to put all of our shields in the front where we're killing it. And then we make sure that we put all of our attention in that area instead of the actual area that God wants us to be generous. When you're weak, that's when you open your mouth and you share your life. Because when you share your life, that's when God begins to pour into you. It's when your finances have gone to pot that you actually step out and find ways to help, because it opens up the avenues in which God can flow through you, because the enemy wants to stop the God's flow through you. Oh man, I'm preaching. It's easy to focus on what's where we're killing it, and it's hard to focus on those weak areas, but it's actually those weak areas that God wants us to become generous. But because when we become generous, it actually creates an avenue and a portal for Him to flow and pour more into those areas. Ask for help. Seek prayer. Confess what's going on. We begin to share our lives with one another, and it becomes a place where God begins to move. We hear someone in need. We step in to be generous. Do you realize that they all of a sudden recognized the purpose of their lives and their property and their jobs? We read that and we're like, oh, that was really nice of them. Man, it must have been some really rich guys in the church. That's typically what we do. Well, yeah, of course, the guys who have like lots of property are the ones that sell it. And then we usually read this and we're like, well, Lord, have someone sell their property and give it to me. And the only reason why I know that is because I thought it. And that's exactly why we stay in a place of restriction. Because we think generosity comes from abundance of ourselves. But generosity actually puts a demand on who God is to flow through us. Generosity. I'm going to talk about two areas. That was just my introduction. But two areas that actually cause our generosity to increase. Number one is faith. It takes faith to be generous. And so one of the questions that I was asking myself is, how do I increase my faith so that I can believe that God can move through my weakness? Matthew 15:32 is an incredible passage, and I'm going to read it through the Message Bible because I feel like it helps us understand what's really taking place. In verse 32, this is Jesus, and after he had got done healing the sick, and they got across the body of water and went to the other side, it says, but when Jesus had finished with them, he called his disciples and said, I hurt for these people. For 3 days now they have been with me, and now they have nothing to eat. I can't send them away without a meal. They probably will collapse on the road. So here's what's taking place in this moment. The disciples are recognizing their weakness. They don't have anything. Jesus turns to them and says, let's help them. And what does it do? It's a reminder of what they don't have. I hate being reminded of my weakness. I really don't want anyone to know. And so here the disciples are thinking that the kingdom is actually really about being exposed. But Jesus has tremendous faith in this moment and takes small little bit of food and multiplies it so the entire group of people are fed. It's a story that we keep repeating in church over and over again. But the first part caught me. I think the idea of generosity is actually capacity. And I find that my capacity for God to move through me sometimes is very small. I can't see it, God. I can't see how me being generous is actually going to make this better. I feel like if I actually let myself go, it's going to get worse. So it's better to hunker in. It's better to stay home. It's better to stay in bed. It's better to just watch Netflix. It's better to not talk to anybody, because if they know, they're going to know. God, we don't have much. Why would I give any of it? And what's interesting here is what caused faith to arise in Jesus that we're going to do this? Love has no boundaries. You see, what causes faith to grow in you is when you come into a community like this and you genuinely love the people around you and you have compassion on them, it puts a demand on the generosity of God to flow through you. When you come into this room and it's all about you and you find your seat and you sit in your place, and I'm not trying to mess with people that feel that way. I get that there's seasons and times, but I'm calling you to a new level. Because the love of God, when we experience it, we realize that that love will go to any length to move through us. Because it went to any length to move towards us. Jesus stepped into humanity and was willing to suffer and to die for you and I. His love will go to great lengths of generosity to move towards us. So what causes faith to arise in us? What puts a demand on God's generosity to flow through us? His power, His might, His ability is when we actually allow love to flow through us towards people. It puts us in a position of being willing to give. See, because of their great love for one another in this season, they're like, dude, my property, if you need help, I'll sell it. And what you find about in the Bible is that God just keeps giving you more when you live that way, because you start acting like Him. The way God intended a community to be is, listen, you're going to go through hard times and it's going to get rough and you're going to be fighting a fight. But just remember that how the kingdom works is that actually in that fight, we're not supposed to restrict. We're actually be supposed to live open with our lives. And open doesn't just mean telling everybody it's all good. In your weakness is when He becomes strong. It's also okay to talk and to share and to communicate and to walk and to tell and to be with people and open your life and have them over to your home and see that everything's not good. Because when you do that, it causes faith to arise. Oh, man, I hope you're getting this, because the idea of love, look at this, Romans 12. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. This is what the Holy Spirit puts on us, on our life. He empowers us. So if God has given you the ability to do stuff, then do it, is the bottom line. I won't read through that list, but I want to get to verse 9. What puts a demand on the gift in you? See, I always thought that I got to ask God for more of the ability to prophesy. I need more of your gifts, God, because if I got your gifts, then I can really wow them. I know you've never thought that, but I have. I'm sorry, okay? But what puts a demand on the gifts that God has put in you? What causes you to step out of your world, your fight, and your smallness, and being willing to go, God, would you be willing to flow through me for others? Verse 9. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong and hold tightly to what is good. God, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in what? Never be lazy. Okay, so generosity takes two things. It takes faith and it takes purpose. Faith, how is faith increased? By love. Because I love you, I'm willing to allow God to go deep in me to pull it out of me for you. I'm going across the lake, and whether winds and waves stop me, I'm going to jump out of the boat and swim. I'm putting a life vest boat. I don't care what it takes. I'm coming to you because I know God loves you, and nothing's going to stop me from letting God flow through me to get to you. And then purpose. Because what does He say here in this verse? Keep that verse up. He says, don't be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Do you understand that many times we think that our purpose is just our job? And when was the last time you put a demand on your job for more? Let me rephrase that. When was the last time you showed up to work and thought about your job as something more than just making money for your home and your family? But what if God actually connected you to community, and connected to community gives you great purpose for whatever it is that you do, so that you can be one who generates funds for the kingdom? God's called us to be prosperous, but not so that we can build higher, bigger stuff for ourselves, and it's all good. But it puts a demand on us when he connects us to community. All of a sudden, these Israelites who became believers, their property, their homes, their lives, all of a sudden had great purpose. This is why I'm alive. This is why I'm called to work the job that I work. I'm going to work because I'm living on purpose, and God's connected me to a community of believers so that I can believe for what God wants to do through us. This whole fight series started with vision. Vision for a building, not just because we want to build more property, but because we can see the people that we love and we see what God wants to do in this community, which gives us purpose for our job, for our life, so that we can come and show up and be generous in everything that we do. Don't let the enemy trick you that the fight is about restriction. It's actually about generosity. You know what's incredible about, and I don't know if I finished that verse 12. Let me just finish Romans so you can just, for those of you that need things finished before I move on. Verse 12, rejoice in your confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Invite people over to your home. Take them to coffee, hang out, share your life, be generous. Be open in community. What's interesting about this whole idea of love is 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13 is one of the greatest chapters of the Holy Spirit and the great gifts. And we read that and we're like, yeah, God, I need more of your healing anointing so I can really do some damage. But after Paul gets done listing all of the gifts, do you know what he says is actually greater than anything? And you can have the ability to prophesy and see things that nobody else sees. You can actually be able to heal all the sick, but if you don't have love, you are nothing. He says the greatest of these is love. Why? Because love has no boundaries. If you keep feeling like you're running into boundaries in your life, then go through extravagant ways to love people. Because the moment I step into demanding God's bigness in me, which is generosity, all of a sudden I start experiencing his bigness. I know you don't believe me. Hold on. Let me go back just to remind you one more time. Proverbs 11:24. The world of the generous gets what? Larger and larger. The world of those who are stingy gets what? The one who blesses others is what? And those who help others what? Oh my word, it's so good. Okay, last story. How do I increase my purpose? How do I connect my purpose to God's bigness? It has to be more than just you and yours. It has to be connected to community. And I want to share a story with you, and this is my closing story. Oh, wow, it's 6 minutes left. I'm doing pretty good, Melissa. Man. The last story is about Elisha, and there was a woman who was struggling, and she felt like she had nothing. And this is how the story goes. It says, what can I do to help? Elisha says, tell me, what do you have in your house? And I love how she responds. Nothing at all is her first statement. That's kind of how we respond. Nothing at all. I mean, I got nothing. You don't even know how hard it is right now. And then there's like this pause and this comma in the text, and then it says, well, except this, like, you know, insequential flask of oil I got. It's this little vial that, you know, means nothing. Do you know that it's in those moments where you feel like you have nothing is the very thing that God wants to use in a community where He wants to flow through you in generosity? You don't need to kill it to be generous. It's actually in your weakness when you live open that actually God uses you to bless others. So God connects this woman to community. Why? Because He tells her, go find as many jars as you possibly can. So she sends her kids out to go find people in the community and ask them for their jars. Because God's about to move in a mighty way. And the Bible says that she begins to pour this little insequential thing that she has. It's just, I don't have much. It's just, you know, I've been really struggling. The battle's been real. It's been real hard. And that's typically when we don't want to share what's going on. But you know when you begin to share, it actually is that olive oil that begins to pour. And the Bible says that every jar that was available filled to the top until she ran out of jars. Wouldn't it be amazing that we could live in a community and we begin to pour out our life amongst those that are around us instead of just always asking for God to fill us? Maybe the concept of generosity is poor. But I don't want to. I just want to stay where I am and go, God, just fix it all. He goes, I already have, by the way. But I need you to understand how the kingdom works. Find those around you that have need. Get out of your world because the enemy wants to keep you bound and alone and hurting and poor and poor and poor and poor and poor. And you will find okay. Because some of you are like, oh, I poured and I felt even worse afterwards. I get it. I saw some of your faces. You're like, I tried that once and I hated it. I think because we're actually doing it for the wrong reasons. We're looking for people to fill the area of our insecurity, so we want to do something for them so they can go, man, you're amazing. And then when that doesn't happen, we start blaming God for everything and like, man, I'm just so burnt out and I can't do anything. And no, you see, when you encounter the love of God, He already tells you you're okay. And pouring out is not about people going, oh, great, thank you, you're amazing. Most of the time when you're pouring out for people and they just walk away, they take the whole jug and they walk away. They don't even say things. They're like, oh, I expected this. I mean, people got expectations all the time. And if we're doing it so that we can be filled by people, we're in trouble. But the moment you step into allowing God to flow through you and you genuinely love, do you know what love is? Love expects nothing in return. Because I've experienced the greatest love, which means I'm able to love without attachments and little strings that I just want to pull on you. So I start manipulating. Do you know what manipulation is? It's witchcraft. The Bible describes manipulation as you conjuring the devil so that you can get a response. Oh, God, that's gross. And I was a chief of manipulation. We do that. We do that to each other, spouses, ladies. Sometimes you do that. What's wrong? Nothing. What are you trying to do? You're trying to pull something out of your husband. And then when he finally says, okay, let's talk. You're like, I don't want to talk. Don't manipulate each other. If you genuinely love, that means that you actually care and are willing to wait and be patient and open your life up in generosity. Men, don't hold it in because you're trying to put up a front that you're doing okay. Do you know that the greatest expression of God is living in generosity? When we're open with one another, God can actually move. Whew. Okay, 19 seconds in conclusion. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, 14 through 16, it's in the Message Bible. And I close with this. Here is another way to put it. You are here to be a light bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. As public as a city set on a hill. If I make you a light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm going to put you on a light stand. Now, that I've put you there on a hilltop on the light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to be open. It's so good. I'm just going to take a nap right here. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Be generous with your words, your time, your treasure, and your talent. Put a demand on God by being generous. Be generous with what God has put in you. Be generous with what you find in your hand. And put a demand on your life for this community. I'm going to say that again. Put a demand on your generosity for this community. Will you just put the picture of the building up there for a second? I've talked to a number of people when it comes to building buildings and doing things like this, and honestly, I could really care less about the building. I just want to reach people. But I do know this, and I was actually praying the other day, and I was like, Lord, I think you're just going to let me win the lottery so that I can personally just write a check and it's just taken care of. And I was like, you know what? That's actually stingy. Because it's not allowing you to put a demand on God and see the purpose of where God's put you so that you can let generosity flow through you. To be honest, I think it would be easier if we didn't talk about building a building. Because, by the way, we don't have enough money as a church to build a building. We don't even have a big enough congregation to build this kind of building. But I'm not building it for you, just to be honest. And I think it's important for us to see that there is something greater than us that he's called us to do. I want to build that because I believe that God wants to fill this place. And by the way, we are at capacity for our children's areas. We really can't house much more kids. So we have to put a demand on what God wants to do through us. And you're like, man, I can barely rub two pennies together. Well, let me just tell you, if you live in that place, it's just like the person who was only given one talent, he buried it. Yeah. And nothing else came about it. Wow. But the moment the person was given three and five and they put a demand on heaven for more, more was given to them. And I believe that more is given to us because we're motivated by love and we're connected to community. My life is about something bigger than just me going home and sucking at golf. Thank God. Your life is more than just killing it in your job or even making money for your family or setting up your 401k or doing whatever it is that you love doing. Your life was actually connected to community, and community was designed to be a city on a hill and to change the world. And I want to take the power of the Holy Spirit and infiltrate Austin, where people are afraid of the reality of God. We've gotten so used to putting God in a religious box that it's okay, let's just make God real nice. And the moment God shows up in a big storm, everybody's in a big way, people freak out. But it's in the Holy Spirit that we experience the reality of Jesus. And our lives are never the same. We are called community to be a community of generosity towards one another. And I'm not just talking about you giving. I'm talking about love and purpose. What are you about? And maybe the reason why you haven't seen breakthrough is because you've been holding on to an image of what you need rather than living for something bigger than yourself. Put a demand on God to do more. Because you're saying, God, I'm going to give. I'm going to be open. I'm going to be generous with my life. Maybe invite so many people over to your house that they can't fit in your house anymore. Put a demand on God for a bigger home. Let's fill this place and put a demand on God so that He can help us build something bigger. Not so that Ryan Maloof can be a rock star in this city. So that we can have people experience the Holy Spirit. How many of you have come to our church for the first time all of you, okay, that's dumb. But how many of you, when you came, you experienced something that you had never experienced ever when you came? I want to take that to the world. This whole fight series started with vision. Vision for we're going to fight for each other and we're going to fight for the next generation. But I believe that the fight is we gotta fight for generosity. We gotta fight, stop restricting the coronavirus and the market and everything. All it does is create fear. And do you know what fear does? It restricts. And I'm so grateful for Daniel getting up here and, man, going crazy and going wild. And let's pray and let's step out of the boat and let's ask Jesus and we're not gonna be afraid. I'm like, bro, I'm wearing a mask when I fly. But Jesus actually said, hey, listen, if you're motivated by love, you're going to walk into places where others couldn't walk. Jesus went to the lepers, and everybody freaked out. He touched them. Hey, by the way, my life is more than accumulating everything here on earth. What if a group of people just started living like, hey, man, live or die, I'm going for it. Ride or die, baby. Kick the tires, light the fires. We're going for it. Yeah. All right, I'm done. Stand up. Yeah, I know. Sorry. That's all I got to say. Listen, I think it would be amiss to not remind us that every time we come together and the Holy Spirit begins to talk to us that we take a step. And there is many steps to generosity today for you. But they're going to put up the four ways to give. And I just need you to know, and Ben can testify who's on our staff, who manages all of this area as a CPA, our CFO, whatever he is, CCO, I don't even know what all of them mean anyways, is that this is not about us. I mean, I get these on sale. We try to spend as little as we can because I want our life to be about something much greater than just accumulating stuff. But I think there needs to be a response of generosity in the house. Put a demand on God for Him to do more in your life because you begin to act like Him rather than acting like the enemy, which is restriction. you begin to step into areas that you didn't even know God had for you because you live your life open in the community that God put you in. So however it is that you're going to respond, we're going to sing this last song, but respond. You know the areas that you've been afraid in. You know the areas that the enemy is trying to trick you in. You know the areas that you've been holding back in. And typically, they're not your strong areas. Okay, we're going to sing this song. But I got to tell you something. I just, there's a group of guys here that we play golf together. And yesterday we played, and it was like this tournament. It was really crazy, and the whole time I played terrible. And no matter what I did, I just kept playing. And honestly, I wanted to quit. And it's in those moments that we have to determine that even though our weakness is being exposed, that God has more for us. And I told my wife, I go, babe, I'm not gonna step aside from this tournament. We got three more or four more of these going on where I have to face my insecurity of sucking. But I told my wife, I go, I'm not backing down, because it's when we face our weakness, God becomes strong. Yeah. I'm gonna fight, because the cost is too great for a group of people that need to hear what we know, that Jesus is more than enough. Come on, let's sing this song together.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
Oh, I am
who you say I am.
Oh, I am
who you say I am.